Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Great America Podcast with Lou Dobbs, always in the fight for truth, justice, and yes, our American way of life. And now, here he is, the Peabody Award-winning voice of truth, the great Lou Dobbs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Great America Show. We're talking politics on the Great American Show today. Thanks for being with us, sharing part of your day with us to store up on some more truth, justice, and the American way. There are more than a few major issues for us to sort through today. The politics of personal destruction being updated almost daily, and it appears the radical Dems will have to come up with some new tactics. Their habit of exploiting race, cancel culture as a favorite pastime, and their politics of personal destruction. The Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, is effectively saying it's okay if Republicans side with the Marxist left and help them perpetrate the greatest fraud in American political history, trying to overthrow a president, one president in particular. McConnell criticizing the National Republican Committee for censuring two Republican congressmen, but not once did McConnell ever criticize the Democratic National Committee for its role in the fraudulent effort to overthrow President Donald Trump. Two efforts at impeachment and a special counsel amounted to nothing. So we're going to be taking that up today. And also, should President Biden take a cognition test? And just what happened? Big blue state governors just reversed the Centers for Disease Control. That's right. The Democrats are not following science. And they declared they've had it with mandates and, in some cases, jabs and masks. To sort through all of this is one of my favorite political thinkers, pollster and strategist extraordinaire and great American, the Trafalgar Group's Robert Cahaly. Robert, great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
It is always an honor to be on your show.
I want to start, if I may, with a quick glimpse at where we are right now on Capitol Hill. Suddenly, Mitch McConnell is criticizing the Republican National Committee because the two congressmen were just censured and not thrown out of the party, which I thought would have been a terrific idea. What do you make of what's happening with the Republican Party, particularly on the Capitol Hill leadership? That is Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, and McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader.
Well, every time one of my Republican friends insists that this election is over and 2022 is going to be a cakewalk and there's going to be this red wave, I remind them that the Republican Party can mess up even a great thing. And this kind of internal strife is exactly the wrong way. Let's say you don't like what the RNC did. Mm-hmm. Then tell the members of the RNC on the phone privately. We got to quit airing all the dirty laundry. When you have people that are acting outside of the norm for the party, and I think most of the members of Congress would agree that what Kinzinger and what Cheney have done in allowing themselves to be used on a committee that was not formed the way committees are supposed to be formed, that's frustrating, and that's what was called out publicly. Now, if you don't like that, then take it up with the people who called them out. I mean, there's 168 members of the RNC, and I bet you Mitch McConnell can get every one of their phone numbers he asked for them. But there's no sense in doing this in a public fashion.
I don't understand what the party thinks they're doing. If it's about the money, they need to find new sources of money. Your thoughts about the role of these rhino leaders in a party that is decidedly, and I think appropriately, Trumpian. It is the party of Trump. Do you disagree?
Well, I think, when you talk about the moves that most specifically you're seeing out of Kinzinger and Cheney, it's like how how bad must your self-awareness be that you declare yourself a statesman while your colleagues see you as a useful idiot? And that's exactly what's happening. They're being used by the other side to make their point. You know, if you don't like something, I kind of look at a party like I look at a family. A long time ago, I had an older member of my family say, the thing about a family argument is you don't win when you win. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you don't win anything when you prove your grandmother wrong. You still lose because the fight is the problem. And they're not recognizing they're contributing to this fight, and they're putting putting all of us in a very awkward place. And right now, you know, the whole thing, the opponent is, you know, the Democrats are melting down. They cannot seem to make anybody happy in the entire country. And now is not the time to water down the message, to move. Look at what's actually working. And, you know, what we're seeing is a growing consensus. I mean, the Republican Party, you know, I always tell people, if you want to understand today's Republican Party, go back and look to 1992. It's about 75% of the people who voted for Bush and 95% of people who voted for Perot. That's the modern Republican Party. You know, this is as much a party of the guy in the country club. Now it's as much a party of the waitress and the construction worker. And that's a good thing. And there are people who resent that. But this is an average person's, working person's party. And the issues that are separating Washington elite are those issues. You know, take the environment. Americans want clean air and clean water, but not if it's $8 a gallon for gas to get there. And right. And that's a work in people's perspective. And that's where this party is. And people who don't recognize that or can't come to grips with that, it is what it is. And so I know that people, you know, there's a lot of frustration. You know, everybody wants their little club to stay the same, but it can't and be a winning club.
You see Mitch McConnell as the leader, and there's John Thune, and then there's John Barrasso, and used to be Roy Blunt behind them. You know, I mean, that was a club, and it was disgusting to me to see it because it was in such a stark contrast to watching President Trump by himself looking at a gaggle on a rope line on his way to Marine One from the White House, taking every question, giving every response, and doing it day after day after day. They were just transmitting like a radio, those senators under McConnell. They're just empty suits. They're rhinos. And
it's such a contrast. It's exactly, I mean, like when you look at what gets Republicans excited, you need to switch those people out, and you need to put Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, because that's what this party is now.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I also think it's a party of Jim Jordan. I think Matt Gaetz.
I'm talking about the Senate. Yeah.
No, I understand. But I'm just saying, I think that maybe Cruz is trying to fly at the correct altitude, but he's a little highfalutin. I think Josh Hawley and Tom Cotton are a little constrained for people who are being authentic. So I'm not trusting in their image because I don't personally think it's in their case the genuine deal. They've got a long way to go to convince me that they're something approaching what they're trying to pretend to be and trying to project. But that's just one guy's opinion. It happens to be mine. Let me turn to just this issue of how much should the Republican Party put up with. We've got a chairman of the RNC who is without a question a rhino. She may not use her middle name Romney, but she's Romney through and through. We've got the Romneys in the Senate. We got Cheney, Kinzinger. There's a long list in the House, including six who just sided, as you well know, Robert, with the Democrats, with Pelosi on an initiative to grant amnesty to the millions of illegal immigrants coming into this country. It's you couldn't do anything that would set fire to a Republican advantage like that if you schooled on it for 6 months. Your thoughts?
That's exactly what I'm worried about. Is you have this element within the party that keeps wanting to calm things down. I know this is going to kind of sound mean, but I think this is the kind of people who are listening to the Frank Luntz of the world. You've forgotten that these guys are being paid by corporate masters to dictate a philosophy that does not match the philosophy that is winning elections, and you need to quit listening to that crowd, because that crowd is the same crowd that doesn't understand who is voting and why they're voting. People are angry about everything from what's happening in their school to what's happening at the gas station. I mean, when you look at it, the one thing we get from voters that we picked up on, it's this, whether it's making me wear a mask, whether it's paying people not to work, whether it's blowing up the deficit, whether it's creating inflation by sending all this money, the government involvement in my life is what is the problem. So there's a consensus that the government getting too involved in people's lives in every aspect is ruining their happiness, is ruining their finances, is wasting their time, waiting on stuff, like all of this. And so there's a wholesale rejection of it.
Yeah. And I want to get into the polling that you've done on that. I also want to just take a second here. The Republican Party has always been about, it said, limited government, smaller government. But what it does is entirely different. It is supporting bigger government, ever bigger government, more spending. McConnell and McCarthy pushed through a $3.5 trillion debt ceiling and said, spend what you will. The Republican rhino leadership doesn't stand for a damn thing, Robert, and the American people understand it.
Well, it's very frustrating, because that's the type of infrastructure that ought to be there. I mean, when you look at the way the left organized around the Arabella and all that stuff, and they created the group that would help bind all these different groups, whether it's C3, C4s, PACs, and plan it all out. I mean, they built a roadmap. They found a way to follow, to do what they're doing within the law as it exists.
Right.
And they just sped right past. And, what I see is a lot of duplication.
Yep.
And a lot of consultants who are making a lot of money, but I don't really see that thirst for winning and that figure out a way to win attitude that you're seeing out of the left. And they're not going to just let this thing go. To me, all this talk kind of reminds me of all this, Bush just won the first Gulf War. There's no way this Clinton guy's going to touch him. I mean, that's kind of the way this feels.
Exactly.
And I'm like, guys, it's a long way from Election Day, and he just had a good job report, and he just actually took out a terrorist with limited, casualties. I mean, let's just consider, we got some rate hikes, inflation might be in check, and people going back to work, and COVID going away. I mean, just let's consider there might be a world that don't look at this bleak. Come next November. We need a real plan.
Absolutely. And the Democrats, by the way, I can't wait to get your reaction to this. Within the last 24 hours, we have seen en masse blue state governors act as one, and many blue city mayors act as one, dismiss mandates, dismiss even masks, and very clearly signaling that they're going to back away from jabs. It is saying subtly that not only, as President Biden said, there isn't a federal solution, hell, there isn't a state or local solution either. So, quote unquote, we now have to live with the pandemic which means it's an endemic. Your thoughts about the Democratic Party moving as one, and I mean stopping on a dime and pivoting.
It looks like the Democrat Party has returned back to its senses and is listening to people like James Carville when we're still listening to people like Frank Luntz.
Yep. I think that is the best way to put it. And for people who don't know, Frank Luntz is would you like to describe him, Robert?
Well, I mean, it has been clear, I think Tucker Carlson has done some of the best work on this, he definitely had a great reputation as a pollster, but he got hired by so many of these corporate types and making such big corporate money and pushing their agendas. And absolute power corrupts. Well, you know, millions of corporate dollars can also corrupt. And sometimes it's easy to forget where you came from and to forget that this guy started as a Buchanan pollster for where he is today. And there is not a recognition that his advice is no longer aligned with where we are.
Yeah, and let's be, to be completely honest, I think most Republicans in the House and the Senate particularly would just as soon forget where they did come from. They came from sitting on the knee of the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable, and acting like they were the dummies. They were the party of big business, corporate America, Wall Street. And you know what? I don't believe that anything's going to change one whit in November 2022. That's how strongly I believe that these Republicans are just out of their minds right now, their leadership.
Well, the trends are definitely in favor of Republicans. But again, my fear is that they're not utilizing it right. And you know, when you got a big wave, and this is coming from a guy who couldn't surf if it meant his life, but in watching people surf, you either crash into the wave or you glide on top of it. And we better learn to glide on top of it, because the public is frustrated, and right now the Republican Party is the answer. You know, we had our generic ballot a few weeks ago had a 14-point gap, and I was on Newsmax after the rally, and somebody suggested, the Republicans picked up all these people. I said, no, these are not Republicans. Just because somebody is saying a generic ballot, I'm going to vote Republican, doesn't mean they're Republican. It's full of people that were self-identified Democrats, self-identified independents. It's like if you've been at the casino all night and you've been betting red and you go, man, I'm losing my butt. What the hell do I have to lose? I'm just going to bet black for a while. That doesn't mean that is your new direction. It means you're going to give the Republicans a shot, and the Republicans, if they win, have a chance to earn your support ongoing. But it doesn't make you Republican to vote Republican once.
Let me ask you this, and I'm looking at your in your latest survey. The question, if election for Congress were held today, which candidate would you vote for the generic ballot? The Republican candidate looks like 13% differential with a Democrat.
Well, right now, most of the independents are voting Republican. Now, here's the thing. That's what the difference between self-identified. Most people do fall into one party. They don't like labels. And what's really interesting is the people who most resist labels are Republicans.
Right.
Republicans do not like saying they are Republicans. They like saying that they're MAGA. They don't like that because their loyalty is not to an elephant in red. Their loyalty is to a set of values that the Republican Party currently seems to represent. And if the Republican Party moved off of those, they would be gone. No, I'm saying purports to represent.
No, I understand.
So Republicans are more loyal to what they believe than they are to, you know, an elephant and the color red. Back from my days when I ran campaigns, I used to always say there are two ways that somebody who's winning can run. They can run like they're losing and give it everything they got, even if they think they're winning.
Right.
Or they can run like they're afraid of losing. And when you run like you're afraid of losing, you stop taking hard stands. You start. It's kind of like playing a prevent defense, where you're wanting to give them a little bit so they don't get the so they don't get the long goal.
Right.
And you'll let a 10-yard pass go just as long as somebody doesn't get a touchdown pass. Well, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, and guess what? You're in overtime. And
yep.
I feel like that's kind of where the Republican Party is it's running this kind of a prevent, trying not to lose defense versus just going all in on what you believe in. And it's, I see, just little compromises in the way they're putting things. I mean, I keep hearing they're going to put together their contract with America, version. Well, I'd really like to see what it is you're wanting to coalesce around believing, because I have a hard time buying that it's going to be the stuff that's really moving people.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm really, I don't feel like that's what's going to be, because, and rest assured, when the Democrats aren't stupid, and I generally think the Democrats have some pretty good pollsters on their side, who do a better job of figuring out what's going to happen sometimes, especially on this hard ideological stuff. When the Democrats are ready to get the Keystone Pipeline going again to secure the border, you better watch out. Because
exactly.
I think they figured out what they've been doing wrong. I mean, you hear people like Carville all the time going, this is crazy, this is crazy. I mean, these guys have figured out what's going on, that it's gotten too woke and everything else, and that the party is outside. I mean, Bill Clinton understood the idea of how to triangulate. I mean, there was those who are old enough to remember the Sister Soldier moment understand that he said, I'm not that kind of Democrat. Here's proof. That's all he had to do. People. And I was like, okay. That he didn't fall into all those traps. He would not be defined as what you thought a Democrat was. And yet I don't see this same insistence on the Republican Party to not be defined as what people will define them as.
Right. Well, Biden has already leapt at the opportunity to send troops abroad. He said he was taking our troops out of Afghanistan, because he wanted to bring the troops home. He did that because Donald Trump wanted to bring our troops home and to end our foreign adventures, and appropriately so. And then as Biden tries to ape Trump, he screws up a surrender, for crying out loud. It doesn't get much worse than that in military terms. There is not a single thing that this administration can point to that is a positive going into the midterm elections as of right now. So I think the question we're at right now is, what do the Republicans do internally to deal with their rhino issue, to deal with their leadership issue, and to assure victory in November?
Well, I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it. It's not.
Yeah.
You look at kind of what the Democrats have just gone through with, they've got some of their moderate members abandoning them. And I always joke that the Democrats are in a bad marriage and the Republicans are in a civil war. And that's kind of the way it feels. But there's one side that is playing a game of addition, and there's the other side trying to hold on to something that went away a long time ago. And there's, a lot of this has to do with kind of that, that forgotten American, the Mitt Romney ships your jobs overseas Republican Party is gone. It's not that, the party of big business at the expense of small towns. This is much more the party of made in America, and looking out for America first, Americans first, and this is not a party that's afraid of a tariff if somebody isn't treating fairly with America. And they don't like that. And they would like for the quote-unquote bad old Trump days to go away. But the problem is there's not a party left then, because so many of those people that were on their side are Democrats now. And they've inherited a larger crowd of people. But at the same time, what Republicans don't need is to lose even the rhinos, because it's got to be a coalition to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in all the years and everything I've read, we're as close to some other kind of a movement, whether it's some of the Democrats, some of the Republicans. To me, I feel like we're as close to some kind of a third party, some kind of a breakaway of a little bit of each as we've been in a long time. And that probably spells doom for the Republicans. So it's like, almost like, if you're a Republican and you don't like the Trump world, and you don't like MAGA, you got to get through 2022, and you might have to hold your nose and put up with some stuff you don't like, because the only thing you like less than that is losing.
Trump showed everybody what to do to win. Take on the issues. Take a position that is America first, puts America first. Imagine that. That is still a radical idea after Trump proved what it can do, both electorally and in governing. To me, it's insane that we listen to dinosaurs like McConnell, and when we need desperately new blood, new energy, vigor, and fight to go out after the purpose of a Senate and a House to begin with, to represent the people, to achieve a common consensus that is fundamentally the purpose of our government, and get things done for this country. We've got to have candidates who can talk and understand and communicate the reality and what these Republicans are going to do that's better than these not socialists, not progressives, not liberals. They're Marxists, the Democratic Party. Your thoughts?
And the thing is, there's a growing American consensus. I mean, the one thing we figured out in polling recently is that it doesn't matter what party you're in. There is an American consensus that has arrived that is, we don't need the supply chain to go through China. China is a bad actor on the field. And I mean, one of the things we found most fascinating was on the environment. Even people who consider themselves really on the left environmentally say things like, what difference does it make if China's building coal plants? Why do we have to live? There is a consensus that China is a major threat and a major problem. People see it. They understand it. You're having more and more people speak out about it. And this is 60-70% of the public. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you ought to jump onto, because this is one of those places that's a huge divide, and you know that there's such friction, and you know there no matter what the administration says, people understand about the virus and about everything that happened and the way it was sent, and that they didn't do anything to stop it, and they lied about how it happened. They understand that they're, you know, everything from their movies are being changed to the they're being people are building all kinds of infrastructure there, and you know, losing American influence around the world, and people get all that. And you know, it's funny when when we did the contrast on Ukraine and China. Americans are not about going all in for Ukraine, but they sure are all in for not letting China have Taiwan.
You bet.
And if you want to talk about a place that Biden could turn this around, let him stand up for China for Taiwan, and this could be a bloodbath for Republicans in the fall.
Peter Schweizer basically said in his book Red Handed that the Chinese own Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the Biden family. So it'll be an interesting next 9 or 10 months to see what does happen. And I think you're exactly right about China. Are there any secrets here that you can share that will make us feel better about the outcome of the 2022 election?
Well, the first thing I would tell you is that once somebody makes up their mind about an individual or a party, it tends to stay made up. There was what we had noticed early on in the Biden administration, there was a separation. There was about 6 or 7 points between Biden's personal popularity and the popularity of his policies. His policies were much less popular than he was personally. All of a sudden, when Afghanistan happened, it collapsed, and his personal popularity was right there at the same place with the popularity of his policies. And so people have made up their mind, he and the Democrats do not do things well. It goes across the board. It's just these guys don't know what they're doing. One of the most entertaining calls I remember, it was late in the game, and we were doing a poll in New Jersey. And this guy was like, I'm not voting for the governor because I'm sick of seeing Tunnel Towers ads. And we're like, excuse me? He said, yeah, if we've got $450,000 to send illegal immigrants, why can't we take care of our soldiers? Why they got to have these ads all the time on TV so that we have to give money because we spend our money on immigrants? I'm done with the Democrats, all of them. Just like, literally this guy's just, he was just done. Yeah. He didn't care what the governor Murphy, it didn't matter. He was done with Democrats.
Well,
so when people make that turn, it's strong. And I think that turn is there, but people in the end will vote their pocketbooks. And the question is, how they answer that question. Did they feel better in the fall of 2022 than maybe they did in the fall of 2021? And I'm not sure what the answer about that is when they look at their pocketbooks and they look at their lifestyles. I mean, you know, when you look at all these sporting events and these huge crowds, it's because it's kind of new to get back out.
Right.
And there's a little bit of euphoria comes with that. So when people, especially in more of the swing areas, because a lot of the South and other places have already been kind of open, but as they start open and they start to kind of quote unquote live again, there's a little euphoria of, well, like, I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I'm just happier.
Yeah.
And when people are happy, they don't tend to vote people out.
This president is feeble. And it's palpable, it's noticeable, it's obvious. That is what's incredible to me, is that the American people right now have rejected him. Looking at these poll numbers, they're disastrous. And for the first time in looking at Real Clear Politics, that he's fallen below on that average, below 40% for the first time. What are your thoughts about that and the significance of it for the election in 2022?
Well, I think that there's still some really crazy polls in there. The fact that it's as high as it is, when you've got some polls who are still thinking that 45% of the population thinks Biden's doing all right, you got to start wondering who the heck are they talking to? but at the I think that people.
I think it's more, Robert. I think, Robert, it might be more that those corporations paying for those polls may have more influence on the outcome. What do you think?
Well, I've always, the last few years, I've been saying these people are either intentionally trying to skew the polls or they're incompetent, and I'm not sure which is worse. So it might be really bad. And it could be both. It could be both. It's completely possible. These are the same, guys, their error rate in 2020 was, 5-6%. At least some of them have decided they don't want to poll elections anymore. You got to wonder about a polling firm that says, we don't want to do elections anymore. It's like the kid who tells the teacher, I'm too smart to take tests anymore. You just got to take my word for the fact I'm smart.
Exactly. That's a wonderful,
I think that
analogy.
Yeah. I think that we are at a point where Biden continues to be the face of the Democrat Party, and then, you know, backup face is Kamala, and that's not good news either for them. And I think that the fact that they've got that those poster child, you know, that those are kind of their lead poster children for their movement is a positive for Republicans. Nancy Pelosi is still, you know, kind of a, I mean, she still motivates a lot of people to vote. I mean, when, you know, Kevin McCarthy's ads on TV are fire Pelosi, not make me speaker, but when you build an entire operation, an entire movement based on get rid of them and not why us,
yep,
then you run the risk of when, if that anger at them starts to wane, you haven't given them an option B.
Yeah.
You haven't, I mean, you haven't really inspired what it is you're going to do. And so
unfortunately,
that is that's a real problem.
And unfortunately, Robert, we've got a more recent and significant empirical rejoinder to that. And that is, of course, the Biden campaign of 2020. The man ran against Trump. He didn't run for a damn thing. He didn't stand for a damn thing. He didn't come out of his basement for at least during daylight hours. I mean, think about what he did and what he pulled off.
And here's the problem. The guy ran, he ran the Democrat primary, and I'll give him credit, as like, these guys are a bunch of loons, and I'm the only guy that you can relate to. He ran for president in the fall as, you know, hey, I'm you know, I'm kind of the moderate Democrat who's not out in left field. You're not getting Sanders. You're not. And then he gets in, and all of a sudden, he gets in with what I would, you know, the political equivalent to a push, with a 5-seat majority in the House and a dead even Senate, and a ridiculously close presidential race by, you know, less than 100,000 votes split between a few states, and he's governing like he's got a Roosevelt mandate, and so no wonder the policies don't match the way he won. I mean, he should have been down the middle finding things that are very, very bipartisan that he could get done instead of pushing for things that you would need to have, an, you know, another 10 senators and another 30 reps to get done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stunning. I wish we had more time to talk. I hope you'll come back sooner rather than later. Please join us for a continued conversation about what is shaping up as one fascinating political year in every respect in our lives here in America. It's a fascinating year. Robert, we appreciate you being with us. Any last concluding thoughts?
Well, if you look at the if you look at this election like a crazy car ride, I might suggest wearing your seatbelt and make sure your airbags work, because it's going to be bumpy.
Robert Cahaley, one of the best pollsters, strategists in the country, a great American, and he puts it in language that all of us can understand. Whether we agree with some of the things he said, every one of his thoughts and his views are well-reasoned, and we admire him greatly. So thanks for being with us on this edition of the Great America Show. And thank you very much for making America great. God bless you. God bless America.
Join us again tomorrow for the Great America Podcast. Stay in the fight. Truth, justice, and the American way will prevail against all enemies, against all odds.